a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us for the Word for Life radio ministry. I wonder if you've been worrying the last couple of days. I know that's what we've been talking about on our broadcast the last couple of times, but Satan always loves to just kind of tempt you to go against what you know to be true. And Pastor John, worry is something we all deal with, isn't it?
It is part of living in this flesh.
Yeah. And so we were closing the last broadcast with the idea that Paul has mentioned some actions that need to be taken in connection with a proper attitude. As a man thinketh, so is he. And out of the thoughts of our heart come our actions. And so consequently, we were even dealing with Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2, where it was talking about working and praying together with other people that cause you worry. Maybe your teenagers, or maybe somebody at church or somebody at work. And it says in Philippians 2, 2, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, that's hard, because we all have different opinions. And, of course, we're always right. I mean, just look in the mirror, right?
Well, it makes me think of, at the end of the letter, Euodia and Syntyche.
Oh, my.
Right?
Oh, my.
Which is part of this letter's about. There's these two ladies in a great conflict, and Paul implores them, be of the same mind in the Lord.
You know, I'm afraid that so many times we have meetings that become contentious, and instead of stopping the meeting and going to the Lord in prayer, getting on our knees, and just waiting on God in prayer and confessing, and until we become of the same heart and the same mind and the same love, we continue on in the contention. Of course, it's only by pride that comes contention, comes fighting. And so God wants to humble us and not have us filled with pride. So we have to work and pray together until God gives us the same mind, because the Holy Spirit only speaks with one voice.
And I love what verse 3 says.
Yes.
How do you do this? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also the interests of others. And then comes this incredible picture of Christ's attitude of humility.
Can you imagine the Philippian church hearing that for the first time it was being read? And they're saying, prefer others before myself? Oh, now, Paul, we need to talk here. That's really not possible. And then they continue to read about Jesus, and they kind of go, oh, here's God, perfect, no pride, no mistakes, considering us first, no thought for himself. He's our example. Oh. And that will really cause us pause to realize the only way I can prefer somebody before myself is to believe that that's a commandment. It's not something that I have a choice about if I want to be godly. It's kind of like Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?
And this helps us understand why God is opposed to the proud. Because think about it. Here is God, creator, comes down, humbles himself. I like to picture it as him coming down a series of steps. And he gets off the steps, serves us. So the infinite creator God covers this infinite distance. And he's willing to humble himself, and yet you and I, Pastor Greg, aren't willing to humble ourselves in that finite distance between you and I. That's why God's opposed to the proud.
Exactly. Well, the next action he talks about is in verse 12 of chapter 2, and basically saying, live out your salvation with fear and trembling. I'll read it. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so consequently, we are told that we are to allow God to work in us so that we can work out what he is working in.
But I love that combination, right? God in us, us working, he helps us and he leads us, but we're submitting, we're taking action. We don't just let go and let God. There's action here. There's a change in thinking and doing.
Right. And it's interesting that the Apostle Paul becomes very practical right after that. He says, it's God that works in you, both the willing to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Oh. He's saying, stop arguing. Stop complaining. You know, murmuring is what caused the children of Israel to be cast aside in the wilderness.
It's also what caused Miriam to get leprosy.
We don't necessarily look at our conversations as being that important, but we can see here that God is saying, oh, yes, I'm listening to what you say, even though you don't think many people hear it. So basically, he's saying, stop all conversations that are heading into arguments and complaining. See, we can stop a conversation when we recognize we're getting into sin. We can just zip it and stop that conversation and not be a part of it and be obedient to this action that he told us to take. And then he says in verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That word labored means labored to exhaustion in vain. So holding forth the word of God, holding out the Bible as the decision maker in every discussion and every decision that I make, and basically say, this, as I'm holding my Bible in my hand, this is my guide.
And I would say this, there is not one situation in anyone's life where the Word of God doesn't speak to it. The question is, do you know where to turn?
Exactly. Because 2 Peter chapter 1 says that God has given us all that pertains to life and godliness in his Word. Now, that's pretty amazing. I have a master's degree in biblical counseling, and I well remember classes that we had where people were talking about integrationist philosophies of pulling in psychology from man and trying to combine it together with God's Word. And then somebody said, well, how about this verse in 2 Peter? God's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And folks kind of went, oh.
Yes, because God's Word is sufficient.
Exactly. So as I'm carrying out these actions, then I have peace not only with God, but I also have peace with one another. And so that's the promise. You know, God's protection, he's guarding the doors of my heart and my mind, as we've talked about before. And God's peace will keep the anxiety away. You remember the words of the song, be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. And when our hearts are filled with the truths of good godly music and God's Word, as soon as Satan throws a thought into our mind that will cast doubt, we should be casting aside everything that feeds the vain imagination, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and feeds that which is right, pure, verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4. And so consequently, it's God's protection. Secondly, it's God's presence, the God of peace. I love that in verse 9, his presence. In other words, God shows up when I have the right attitude and I'm responding correctly to worry and fear, and I'm doing it with thanksgiving. God loves to show up and clap, you know, because we serve for an audience of
one.
And so consequently, when he is the audience, I really believe that there's an attitude of rejoicing in his heart. You know, when you're a kid and you've done something that pleases your mom or your dad, there's a joy there. So you've got God's protection, God's peace, and you got God's presence. Jesus said, in me, you have peace, but in the world, you have what?
Trouble.
Yeah, trouble. And we're still in the world. But boy, we've got peace. And so the problem is worry. The prescription is prayer. And when prayer has cleared the mind, the program to think and do as God has instructed is then next for us to follow. But prayer has to clear the mind. if I'm praying, but I'm still going, in the Greek means, I don't know about this. That's the double-minded man, right?
Right.
Not receive anything from the Lord. God wants us to get to the point as the plaque over our bed in our bedroom says, faith is not believing that God can, but it is knowing that he will.
And not only that, Pastor Greg, but we should enlist other godly individuals in our life to support us in prayer or to share our thoughts with them, because mm-hmm. they may have walked this very exact trial before and can share how God delivered them through it.
Have you ever known Christians who have been faced with a crisis but didn't want any other Christian to know?
It's a lonely way to go, and it's a way without strength, a way without wisdom. Very dangerous.
In essence, it can come across like, I don't want to bother people, or I'm embarrassed about this. I don't know what the motivation is.
Sometimes you have to be judicious or careful in who you share as a confidant with.
Right, right.
But once you should have people that you can speak to in your life that you can trust, that can keep things confidential, because you need that help. That's why this week we're at our church, we're talking about spiritual gifts.
Yes.
And how each member is necessary for the other member.
Right. Knowing that you can share a prayer request and that it will not be followed up by criticism or by
judgment
or gossip or I bet God's doing this because of your sin, you know, those kinds of things.
Job's friends kind of thought that way. And
we really struggle with that word friends, don't we?
I put those in quotes.
Frenemies.
Well, and Job is the example, right? God saw Job as blameless, permitted him to be in a trial that was terrible.
Right.
He worried at times, but in the end, he persevered through it.
Right.
And in the end, God was honored and God blessed Job
mm-hmm.
twice as much.
And when we are going through difficult times and we have peace, but we need prayer, sometimes we have to be gracious to those who have not been gracious to us. And so it's kind of like God came to Job in the last chapter. Well, actually, the friends came to him and said, God told us if you didn't pray for us, he's going to dump on us. You know?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Here's Job saying, really? You turkeys have been accusing me for the last 7 months, and now you want me to pray for you?
And Job did.
And he did. And that moment, God turned the captivity of Job and gave him double of everything that he lost, but only after he prayed for his friends. Well, folks, we have come to the end of our time. Thank you so much for being with us. I trust that as you are facing the temptation from Satan to worry, you will also turn to the prescription of God to pray. And when you do that, God will show up, answer prayer in his will and his way, and clap.
If you're interested in today's study notes, please email us at wfl@brooksidebc.org, and we'll email those to you right away.
Till the next time, the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about the Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.